You know, there's nothing, Greg Wyshynski, quite like going back to your roots. And in the case of a blogger, going back to your roots means perpetuating a stereotype. Yes, that's right. Greg Wyshynski, true or false, you are doing today's show from your parents' basement.
Hey, I'm back. Sorry about that. Their internet's a little wonky, so hopefully there's no other problems during the show.
Hang on, you're there. Can Matt hear me as well?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
Greg, can you hear me? This is great.
Yeah, sorry. No. No, I dropped off.
This
dude,
is old
school. I dropped off.
Oh, did you? We both dropped off at the same time.
Oh, shit. So
how
maybe
would
it wasn't
that
a problem.
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but we both dropped off.
Right.
I had to call
anyways,
back.
Anyways, hopefully it'll go okay. And then Friday I'm going to be in the city, so it'll be fine. All right, dude. Oh, yeah. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, well, I think we're hot now, aren't we?
Are we?
I don't know. Maddie?
Matt. I love this shit. We're so great. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
I'm in my parents' basement is the thing. I'm in
it's
my parents'
sloppiest
basement.
Sloppiest show
so like,
on the internet. Here's my challenge. Everyone listening right now. Have you ever heard or can you find on iTunes or SoundCloud or anywhere else a sloppier show than ours? This is the clarion call. This is the challenge. Can you find a sloppier show than this one?
On the Nerdist podcast, what they do is they start recording the interviews without telling the interview subject that they're recording. So what you'll hear is a lot of ambient noise and like chitter chatter about, you know, what they did that day. And then all of a sudden you'll start hearing questions. And all of a sudden you'll hear like the guest going, you know, oh, have we started then? And then, you know, oh yeah, we just kind of like jump into it like this. So I kind of feel as, you know, I feel our podcast is an ongoing conversation for people. So I feel like we are just kind of keeping that conversational tone, by having conversations about how bad technology is in my parents' basement.
That's all right. But I was saying, like, making the point, like, you're going old school today. Like, you're going old school blogger because now, as our guest today, Steve Dangle, points out, bloggers be getting paid. But you, sir, are taking it old school. You're taking it back to the parents' basement. The days before the bloggers got paid, just angry people fueled by too much time and alcohol pounding away on the keyboard while mom says, turn the music down.
That's right. That's right. And now all those people are the analytics people. The bloggers have all been paid. Now the analytics people are getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. It's a good
What's
time.
What's next?
Really. No, but I'm here in the wood paneled basement. I've been, you know, I've done the show from here before. Me and my daughter are up here visiting my parents this week. And I'll tweet out some pictures of stuff. I tweeted out one picture once and people really loved it. So I'll tweet out some other pictures of stuff in my parents' basement later on. But The internet here blows. Hopefully the show goes okay. The other thing about this place is that for whatever reason, my father keeps a radio on at all times in the kitchen. Whether they're here or they're not, the radio is always on. It's always tuned to an oldie station. And before I came downstairs before, I noticed that like 1:55 in the afternoon, Stairway to Heaven was playing on the station. And don't you think it's time that they added a parenthetical phrase, the Stairway to Heaven, where it's the proper title is Stairway to Heaven, parentheses, shit break, or smoke break, or piss break, or lunch break, if you're playing it at 1:55 in the afternoon?
probably, pretty much. In wrestling parlance, that would be popcorn break. No, was it? It's popcorn break, I think, for the match right before the main event, the popcorn match.
Oh, the Divas match. Oh, sorry.
It's true. It's usually where they put it because you have like a co-main event that brings the house down, right? Like the guys with the high work rate. Then you have the main event, the one that's selling the tickets. And yeah, you don't want the main event to come off after the high work rate match. So what do? Gimmick it up. Give me something gimmicky before the main event. And if you can, make it snappy. Get it in.
Exactly.
Get it on. Get it off.
Get it off. Exactly. Get it in, get it on, get it off would be the perfect motto, by the way, for the Buffalo Sabres this year, which is a team that many believe will be getting it into the season, getting it on with some teams, but then getting off the ice with a loss as they tank for Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that that's the one team in the NHL where the regular season already can't end soon enough?
Right.
They just want it done.
They wish they could lose game one and then forfeit the rest of the season just to ensure their chances at a top pick, for sure. And we weren't around to talk about this, but the idea that Connor McDavid and the Erie Otters are going to have a game in Buffalo this season
is
a remarkable display of hubris by the Sabres. Like marketing a kid who's not even they're not even able to draft yet is unbelievably hubrisy.
Yeah, and at the U.S. Prospects game, Buffalo Sabres fans are going to get a chance to watch Jack Eichel. So they're going to have both Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid very deliberately in that building, reinforcing the point further that that's what Tim Murray is after. I don't know that I've ever seen a team strut and grovel all at the same time, which is kind of what it seems like the Buffalo Sabres are doing here. Like there used to be this ad for, I don't know if it still exists for, it was for Channel 2 in Buffalo. We're talking Proud. I don't know about this one because it seems as if there will become a significant disconnect between Buffalo Sabres management and the coaching staff, if not even the players themselves who have a boatload of pride and, you know, don't even want to go down without a fight. If this team, I don't know, like strings together 5 wins in a row, like what happens, Greg? What happens if, and it could happen, who knows, lightning in a bottle, things, you know, it's hockey, anything. What happens if Buffalo's good this year? Right? Like, honestly,
come on.
Like, you're
hopped up on crazy pills. Good this year?
Listen, I know, look at the roster, I get it, look at the, I understand that, but what happens if Zemgus Girgensons turns into Patrice Bergeron and turns into the best two-way player in the league? What if Cody Hodgson turns into that 35-goal guy that people said he could always be coming out of junior? And what if Chris Stewart and Marcus Foligno turn into two of the premier power forwards in the NHL? Right? What if Brian Gionta finds it again and finds it back? What if Tyler Myers turns into that huge prospect we all saw coming out of the Kelowna Rockets organization? What if Jonas Enroth, you know, the modern day version of Gump Worsley, what if somehow he turns into Semyon Varlamov Part 2?
With the
save percentage through the roof. What happens?
I have an answer for all that. Tim Murray will kneecap them. He will take a pipe,
Galooly,
and he will hit them on the knee, and he will break their kneecap. The kneecap will heal. They'll be ready for the next season when Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel is on the team. But for now, they'll be kneecapped. He will Tanya Harding their asses to ensure that they tank. Listen, I know what you're saying.
Right in the middle of it, like another, you know, coach GM controversy, Ted Nolan. Like, do you think Ted Nolan for 1 second wants to lose as many games as his general manager wants to?
You bring up the point that, you know, we all assume that these guys have been set up to lose, but as we learned from the film Major League, the Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger classic, let's not sleep on Corbin Burnson either, it's that teams that are set up to lose will sometimes rally around the idea that they've been set up to lose
and then
win.
So Ted Nolan, us against the world. It's the perfect coaching scenario. Everybody wants us to lose. That guy up there in Popcorn Press Row, that guy wants you to lose. Like, us against the world is the easiest thing for a coach to sell, and it's handmade for Ted Nolan.
We are already seeing the seeds of this planted by none other than Chris Stewart, who told the Hockey News in discussing next season, and I quote, "I hear everybody talking about tanking for Connor McDavid. That's not my DNA personally. I was with St. Louis for 4 years, and we were Stanley Cup contenders every year. So that's how I'm going to approach it. It's playoffs or bust." So you bring up the point that there are going to be guys in that roster with pride. There's a coach with pride. The team is set up to fail. Let's not sugarcoat it. I mean, everybody was like, oh, look at the moves they made. No. The team's set up to fail. The team is completely set up to fail by their general manager who wants to fail, who knows that the quickest way to get back to respectability in this league is to draft Connor McDavid and then turn that treasure trove of draft picks that were given to him by by Darcy Regier into his Jeff Carter, into his Mike Richards, into players that can expedite the process around what will be arguably the next Sidney Crosby. That's the way to build a winner in Buffalo. Problem is that Tim Murray can only do so much. It is then on the coach and the players to play ball. And judging from Chris Stewart's comment and judging from what we know about Ted Nolan, that might not happen.
No chance. No way. You know, Buffalo, every year there's one team that really intrigues me. You know, last year, I was really intrigued at watching a couple of teams, Colorado and the Dallas Stars, were the teams that I always ended up speed bumping on Game Center Live or NHL Center Ice. Those were always the ones that, man, if they were on, I'm watching the games. Because it's too easy to watch Chicago. It's too easy to watch LA and Pittsburgh. Everyone knows that. Find me the real good storyline teams. To me, this year I may just be a Buffalo Sabres fan. You know me, Wish. I don't cheer for teams as much as I cheer for players. I'm really close to cheering for a team this year. And that team is the Buffalo Sabres. Just to see the chaos and the carnage if the Buffalo Sabres are good. Completely spoiling management's plans for them. They redid the draft to make sure they didn't tank.
Yeah, I know. I think they're an interesting team from that regard. Obviously, we'll be spending a lot of time watching them because NBC has them on roughly 105 times for some
reason. Listen, hey, you know why. I mean, that market does great television-wise for hockey. Mm-hmm. You look every single year. I understand it from a TV point of view. I get that. Now, from a hockey point of view, does it make sense that Buffalo is on more than Columbus? Not a chance. No way. No how. But still, if you're a TV guy, all you care about is the numbers. Who's watching? How many of them? A lot of people are watching those games.
As far as fascinating teams, I'm going to have a post on Puck Daddy later this week talking about some fascinating players and fascinating teams for this upcoming season. But Buffalo, I don't think they might make the cut just because of the very reasons that we talked about. If I'm doing a top 10, I think they'll be in the top 10. But like top two for me would be Dallas. Would be a top two team for me as far as teams that I'm dying to see what they do, what they look like this year. And Pittsburgh, I think on the other side of the NHL over in the East would be the other team I'm looking at because I'm fascinated by what they are, what they're going to be, what they're going to look like under a new coach. This could be the beginning of a demolition, or it could be the beginning of kind of picking up where they left off and getting better. I don't know. All I know is that for all of the talk about Dan Bylsma and all the talk about Ray Shiro and all the talk about things that had to come and go and change and whatever, A, not a whole lot has been done up front outside of getting a really good goal scorer out of there. And B, you know, Dan Bylsma was pretty damn good at winning the regular season. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good at it. And if all of a sudden this Pittsburgh team is looking at being a sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, what's the conversation around them? What's the conversation around that team?
Yeah, no, it's a delicate one. I'm curious to see if Sidney Crosby changes his game at all.
How so?
Like, when you look at a player like, I mean, Steve Yzerman is the obvious choice. You know, Steve Yzerman was the guy who, you know, every year was in the conversation for the Art Ross. It seemed to be a motivating factor for him, but it wasn't until he evolved his game that he started to win multiple Stanley Cups. That he didn't worry about piling up the points and worried more about, you know, minding his own knitting in his own end. And the one thing we've seen about Sidney Crosby is when he sets his mind to doing something, and the obvious one is face-offs. When he joined the NHL, he was horrible at them, and now he's a damn fine face-off man. Thank you very much. I wonder if at some point this summer Sid sort of said to himself, maybe I need to change here too. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, we don't have the depth. Our bottom six is brutal. We got goalie-itis. You know, Fleury wasn't there when we needed him. I wonder if Sid takes it on himself and says, maybe I need to change my game a little bit. Maybe I need to be a different player.
As far as guys in the NHL that you'd trust doing that or recognizing that, he's top of the list.
Crosby,
100%. Yeah, Sid time and time again has made himself a better player, whether it's in his defensive end, whether it's in the faceoff circle, whether it's going to the net more.
Whether it's shooting.
Yeah.
Remember, shooting, I mean, he was the most predictable guy in the world. Oh, here comes Sid. He gets the blue line. He's going to curl up and he's going to look for a pass. And everybody started to read that. So what did he do? All of a sudden, he doesn't play with the straight blade anymore. All of a sudden, he's got a little curve on it and the guy's shooting the puck and he's scoring goals.
Right.
You're right. Like, if there's one guy that will recognize that about the mirror, it's Crosby.
One might say he could be considered the best player in the world, which brings us to an interesting question.
Dump.
If you were to construct a National Hockey League dream starting lineup in 2014. Players in the now. Not what they could be, not what they were. In the now. Right now. Put them on the ice, start the season. Who would be your starting six? We're looking left wing, center, right wing. None of this, oh, Stamkos, Taves, and Crosby, obviously. No, asshole. We're dealing with positions here. Now, that said, we're not looking left defense, right defense. We're looking for defensemen. Left wing, center, right wing, two defensemen, and a goaltender. Give us your lineups. PuckDaddyBlog@yahoo.com, @Wyshynski, @Jeff Merrick on Twitter, #MVSW. Merrick and I will have ours after we'd speak to our guest vlogger extraordinaire, Steve Dangle, who we've been, I don't think has ever been a guest in the show. True or false?
No, that is true. We tried to get him on last year, or we had him booked, and then I think we canceled the show.
That's right. That's right. We were going to have him on, and I thought it was a great idea. And then I turned my hat sideways and said, no, it's actually a really bad idea. And then I turned my hat other way and said, but he's a great guest. Then I turned my hat sideways and said, he's a terrible guest. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's still the best bit going. Every now and then, truth be told, every now and then, when Wish and I are talking on the phone, there'll be like low rent Steve Dangle impressions. When we want to do like, you know, point counterpoint, spy versus spy type conversation, it's one of the best things going.
Let's get to Dangle in a second. And who doesn't like to dangle for a second?
Hey-o.
That requires us to do something called starting the show proper, shall we?
I like it already.
Jeff Merrick of Sportsnet.
I just came in from a run, and I got to eat really fast, because after the podcast, I got to go to the hockey night in Stouffville, so I'm trying to scarf down some jambalaya real quick.
Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports. Sloppy.
More sloppy.
It's so unprofessional to assume that your radio partner is going to speak on for 3 or 4 minutes so you can have a bite to eat or take care of other business.
Debate hockey.
Sloppy.
Hot culture.
Sloppy.
And more hockey.
Okay.
Merrick versus Wyshynski.
Goodbye, Joe. Me gotta go. Me oh my oh. Me gotta go. Pull the Piro down the bio. My Avon, the sweetest one. Me oh my oh. Son of a gun, will have big fun.
That's
on
awesome.
The bio. Jambalaya, wow. Crawfish
That's
pie,
fantastic.
And a
what a beautiful gumbo. Voice.
Cause
Steve
tonight
Austin.
I'm gonna see my machete mio. Big
goes
guitar,
on,
fill fruit jar, and be gay.
Okay, we can, all right, thanks, Steve. All right, yeah, thanks, Steve. That's another Mark Cole special. And it's even to the point now where the intro mocks how sloppy the show is.
I forgot that, you know, for all the talk about, oh, wow, you guys came on the air and we're, like, in the middle of a conversation about shitty internet and making plans for Friday's show, that the previous show started with you eating.
Yeah, I was in hurry-up offense that day. I had a lot of stuff I had to do. Well, by the way, thanks to everyone. Thanks to everybody who came out to Hockey Night in Stouffville. It was a packed house at Stouffville Arena. It was a fun game. They shortened the benches and got chimps like me off the ice, and it was a real good game. It was a 12. You'll love it, Wish. It was like a 1986 All-Star game. 12-10 was the final score. So thanks to everyone that came out, raised $88,000 for the Markham Stouffville Hockey, Markham Stouffville Hospital, and money as well for the, Markham, Stars, the Girls Hockey Association of Markham. So thank you, to everybody who came out, the 4th annual Hockey Night in Stouffville. Was a lot of fun. And everyone that joined us at Boston Pizza after, where they tell me I had a good time, Greg. They tell me I had a fine time.
Oh, no, I know what that means.
No, I was in the puddle. Don't worry, I wasn't that guy. There were a few. Actually, I had a really good conversation with, Luke Gazdick, who played in the game and who's off to Oilers camp, of course, and Cameron Gauntz, who plays in the Dallas Stars organization, who, you know, is one guy, you know, Wish, you and I always talk about, you know, who are the next guys that are in the game right now who could either A, do a podcast right now as a player, or who could transition into media when the career is done. I mean, the obvious one is PK Subban, and he is just, you know, charisma going through the revolving door. That's an easy one. But I swear, man, I told Cameron this when I met him a couple of years ago, too, and talking again to him last Thursday. When all is said and done, I think Cameron Gauntz has everything that it would take to either be like a radio host, a TV guy, loves talking about hockey, he delivers well, he's charming. The only problem is he's, you know, still trying to scratch out a pro hockey career. So, Cameron, when all is said and done, there is a microphone waiting for you.
Speaking of loving talking about hockey, here's a guy who loves talking about hockey so much he actually worked for the KHL. He is Steve Dangle, blogger extraordinaire, and he joins us here on the Merrick vs. Wyshynski podcast. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for reminding me of that, eh? How are you?
Doing well, man. Thanks for coming on the show finally. We're all friends. We should point that out first. To the people listening, and that Merrick and I are longtime admirers of your work and your comedic bits.
I've heard your impression.
It's impeccable. It's like you're actually here.
It's beautiful, Sometimes and just, I go, who left my videos on in the house?
And who, I'll tell you, and we're not the only ones, but I mean, every now and then, Greg and I will break into a nickel and dime, as we like to call it, homage to Steve Dangle as we do our morning conversation. So we thank you for the years of inspiration and humor-filled hockey talk, sir. Oh, by the way, I gotta get this out of the way quick. Sure. The Bloggers Be Getting Paid t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is a freaking home run. Anyone that wants to know what we're talking about here, Steve has a t-shirt that he's selling. How much are you selling it for, by the way, bud?
$20.
$20. Best $20 we'll spend. Fashion folks, fresh off the runways of Paris and Milan, come the Bloggers Be Getting Paid t-shirt. Where can people find it, and can you describe it for us, Mr. Dangle?
It's on, I think, teespring.com/bloggersgetting, and that's with no second G, paid. It came from it's a black shirt, and it's got gold writing and a sparkly chalice that says Corsi on it, and if you don't want to buy that, well, then I don't want to know you.
Yeah, it's, and I would, I mean, he calls it a chalice, which obviously, technically it is. I'd go as far as to say a pimp cup, sir. Yeah,
pimp
it's definitely
cup,
a pimp cup.
Holy grail.
Holy grail, exactly. Hova. You know, the thing about Dangle that I love is the fact that, like, there's a lot of people that are out there, Dello's one of them, and a few others, that have been at this for so damn long, and are now, have broken through into great success. I mean, Dangle did a bunch of stuff with CBC for a while. And, like, Dangle's one of these guys that when I first got into, like, Puck Daddy and stuff like that, I would watch just for shits and giggles. And I have no idea if you were making bank when you were just putting videos on YouTube. But it's great work, and it's remained great work. And I think that everybody's just really – you're a good guy. You're like somebody we root for. You know what I mean? I think that's my
point. Wow. Wow, thank you. And after I stole your pumpkin beer, too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Remember that when Dangle stole your pumpkin beer at my place? I had
I just said, hey, man, can I have this as I was opening it? And then I had it, and I felt really bad.
Right. I had my little blogger party here up at the homestead in Stouffville, and he swiped your last pumpkin beer. That's right. I forgot about that.
Oh,
that's good.
Remember the last one, too?
I think it was.
Yeah.
I only had a
Why
couple.
Why would anyone root for me? I'm the worst.
That reminds, that actually makes me reconsider everything I just said about you.
I'm sorry. Oh,
but the point of my little soliloquy is, what are your thoughts about everybody growing up and getting paid? I mean, like, now we're at a point where it's not just like guys like me working for giant conglomerates who prevent me from speaking on certain subjects, FYI. But it's also guys like Dello who are now working for NHL teams. I mean, what's your thought on everybody kind of growing up and putting on their big boy pants?
Well, I like it, and it's kind of overdue. I've been in meetings with, you know, execs at all the major broadcasters, and they always say the same thing, and they've been saying the same thing for the entire time that I've been doing this, which is 7 years, and that's, well, this is so new. Nothing is new for 7 years. And Dello and other guys have been, you know, they've been doing their analytics stuff for a long time, or you know, someone's been doing a podcast for a long time, or someone has a wicked blog. It's about time they get picked up. And if they're doing better numbers than some of the quote unquote MSM guys, well, friggin' they should. They should be brought on. They should be brought on to write or even be a consultant, or you know, all those other grown up words.
Yeah, but you know, hang on a second though. If I can pause on that, because it's a really interesting topic and an interesting thing that's happened now, and analytics is obviously the touchstone for it. But don't you think that ideas, you know, revolutionary ideas, new ideas, need to go through that battleground? Like, no one really expected everyone just, you know, when MC79 hockey went up, you didn't expect the industry to change. Like, it had to go through a fight. Like, that's the only way that it was ever going to, you know, to get accepted. That was the only way Tyler Dello was going to be, you know, hired by the Edmonton Oilers. Like, don't you think that ideas like that need to go through a battle? That they need to be challenged first? And at the end of it, you know what? They win because, you know, when you look at, you know, analytics, because it turns into, you know, a pretty obvious statement that it's on the right side of history. But you're not going to get that unless you have the battle. Like, you need to have that fight first.
You know what? That's a fresh take on that. I've never heard someone say that, but it makes perfect sense. And I kind of talked about this on my last podcast. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that because this is another hockey podcast.
But, oh shit, who cares?
Hey, on the previous
You're a friend of the podcast. You're not competition like Tally's podcast.
Well, in that case, on the previous Pangle Pizza Steve Dangle podcast.
Oh, now he's breaking into sponsors. Oh yeah, wait till we come back at you with our sponsors like Greg?
How about Sportsnet really and Yahoo?
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are pretty good. But on the last podcast, I talked about how if you go back and read some of the earliest stuff posted online about Corsi and, you know, whatever analytics were out back then, it's all very friendly. It's all very, hey, here's some new things we're trying, and you can check it out. And you know, if it helps your understanding of hockey, let us know, and we'd be happy to invite you over for tea and butter tarts. And now it's, if you don't believe in this stuff, you're a flaming idiot. And, like, yeah. It's just all these crazy guys frothing at the mouth. And now some of those guys who have been saying very specific people are stupid for a long time now are coworkers with those people. And it's right. pretty awesome.
And it's also, I mean, in fairness, though, I mean, both sides have had their day. Like, both sides have definitely sort of increased the rancor. I mean, as Steve Simmons has gotten crazier and more cantankerous, I mean, the analytics side was as forceful in trying to get their message out as well.
But that needed to happen. And it still kind of needs to happen. I mean, we can all see, you know, the end of the third period here on this one, but you had to play the game. And I think to Steve's point, you know, it's interesting now that a lot of people that, you know, I guess Jacques Derrida's term for it was bricolage, using the master's tools to destroy the master's house. I mean, at the end of it all, don't we just need to treat this like a hockey game and, okay, now it's time for handshakes. And now it's done, and this is now the new way that hockey, or another way that hockey is going to be consumed.
Well, the interesting thing about that, Merrick, is to go back to your original point, like, I agree that there needs to be a hard-fought war over any new idea. Because, you know, it's all about testing the idea and forcing the idea down the throats of people who don't want to believe in it and that kind of thing. Where I find a lot of this mainstream media, traditional media versus blogger analytics stuff kind of unpalatable is that it rarely is about the idea. It's become the idea now, which is a good thing for the debate to become, but it's the beginning of it, the genesis of it, is all about the messenger. And that's really where I think a lot of the angst comes into it, is this idea of I don't know you, I don't respect you, and since I don't know you, I automatically think what you're selling me is bullshit. You know, I've never seen you in the press box, so you can't have a good idea. All of that stuff is really where the bias relationship comes into it. And, like, think of it this way. When Myrtle speaks about analytics, there is 300% less pushback than when a guy like Dello does it or a guy like Eric T does it. I mean, that's the bottom line, is that from the other side of the argument, if they believe you're one of the boys, if they believe that you belong in the room, then all of a sudden they're almost somewhat open to the idea, but they're so busy slaughtering the reputations of people on Twitter on the internet because they've had their own reputation slaughtered by people on Twitter and on the internet, that it becomes more about the messenger than it does the message. And that's the one thing I loathe about where media is in 2014, is that we're still not debating ideas or debating topics. We're too busy talking about whether the person who wrote it, you know, the first thing is let's attack their credibility rather than debate the message, and I always hate that.
I was too busy picturing Steve Simmons shaking Tyler Dello's hand like friggin' Lucic in the Bruins Habs handshake.
All right. Well, listen,
there's going to be a lot of those awkward moments now, is whether it's you know, Tyler or whether it's Cam, you know, join teams that they've spent a lot of time being very, you know, razor blade critical about. But
yeah,
that's
well,
that, but that's what,
yes,
but that,
man, you know,
but,
it's about time.
Well, listen, Steve, this has been my point from day one. Good for the Oilers for doing this, and good for the Maple Leafs for doing it as well. I don't know that it was Dave Nonis's decision to bring Cam on, but
I highly
did
doubt
it. I highly doubt it as well. But they had the balls to bring these guys in who have been highly critical of their organizations. And so for that, I applaud both both clubs for doing it.
Here's what's bothered me since day one, and I've seen it. I just recently saw it voiced again in a criticism piece on analytics that I forget where I saw it, but I saw it recently. It's the idea that if you're going to go down this road, that's the only road you're going down. You're shutting off every other avenue. You'll have no scouting apparatus. You'll no longer be using your eyes to see what players do on the ice. You'll simply be relying on these analytics, and that's going to determine. It reminds me of the 1960s, like where they are on Mad Men right now, where they bring a computer into the office. And everybody's like, oh, that's it. We're all going to get fired, and the whole thing's going to be run through a computer. No, you idiots. There still has to be a human element in this thing. And it's like those arguments are the ones that have me pounding my head against the desk. Like, there's actually critics of the Oilers hiring Dello saying, oh, well, you know, there still needs to be a human element here. There still needs to be scouting and evaluation. You need to be in the press box. That's not all disappearing. It's just another facet of the larger picture that will now help them make better decisions. And it's such a straw man argument, yet it's been regurgitated so much this summer, I can't believe people actually believe that to be the case.
Well, that's one of those things where, you know, I've been on Twitter for a few years, and as is tradition, I've spent a lot of time getting mad on it. And one thing I've kind of trained myself to do is not get upset at things that are just so blatantly ridiculous that they're not even worth addressing. You know, you can't just replace a whole scouting staff with a spreadsheet. Literally, and no one should overuse that word, but literally nobody has ever said that. So it's not worth getting upset over. It's like the old man screaming in a cloud thing from The Simpsons. You're not making any sense.
I think under Tom Golisano, the Buffalo Sabres scouting department was pretty close to doing that, though, when they slaughtered all of their scouts and went to video.
The best owner in NHL history, Tom Golisano. Listen, Dangle, we've talked about the blogger MSN thing a lot this summer and all that stuff. We are getting a bit closer to the actual hockey being played, which is very exciting. And being that you're a Leafs guy, I think that a good transition point in this conversation is this. What do you think of Randy Carlyle?
Stanley Cup winner Randy Carlyle, you mean?
Oh, sorry, yeah, Stanley Cup winner, TM Randy Carlyle.
Yes, past and future Stanley Cup winner Randy Carlyle.
Hey, optimism.
Here's an unpopular opinion. I think he has the capacity to learn, and yeah, the strategies of years prior were pretty bogus and resulted in his team being one of the worst defensively in NHL history. I think it's possible he can learn and switch it up and maybe make the team better. Maybe make the team one that doesn't give up 36 shots a game and one that occasionally outshoots their opponent, and by gum, they win. That being said, he's probably going to get fired before Christmas.
Yeah, but go ahead, Wish.
I support any argument that includes the term "by gum." By the way, I just want to point that
by
out.
Gum.
No, that's good.
Yeah, any old timey colloquialism all automatically makes me respect your argument more.
Poppycock and balderdash.
There you go.
Poppycock's a favorite here. Oh, I know. And I always count myself as old-timey when I do that. The other question about the Maple Leafs, though, as you look at, Randy Carlyle, changing how he thinks and changing how he coaches. You know, one of the questions that does survive out there, Steve, is does he have the horses to play the kind of hockey that is successful at the NHL level? Is this a problem of composition more than it is of coaching?
I think it's a nice little mixture of both, which helps you get a really high pick in the draft, but that's about it. You look at the lineup. JVR has got one of the most sweetheart contracts in the league, I think. Gardner is awesome. Riley's only going to get better. Phil Kessel, how is he the fourth person that I just mentioned? You know, there are really good parts of this team, but still that big old gap at number one C. I don't like reading stuff like Bozak isn't even an NHL player, because I think that's pushing it. I have a hard time believing he's a number one center. And you show me a team that doesn't have a real number one center, you know, at least a semi-decent one, they're probably not a very good team. So they have some personnel. They could probably squeak into a playoff spot, but I don't think these are world beaters here.
So let's ask this question. Do you consider Eric Staal to be a number one center?
I think he was. I don't know if he still is. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. It's one of those things that I won't allow it to leave my mouth. Like, it sounds weird to say Eric Staal is not a number one center. I would say he could be.
All right. Just saying, there might be a number one center available for purchase. You know,
Which Staal, Eric or Jordan?
I don't think that
for the Leafs.
No. I mean, I don't think Carolina would cut bait on Jordan. I think they would cut bait on Eric.
On Eric before they do Jordan.
Let's go with Eric.
I want to get back to Jake Gardner because the numbers are very favorable. The numbers love him. The point that I've always made about Jake Gardner, considering, Steve, how great a skater he is, and this is always going to be his calling card, I don't know that I've seen such a great skater start from zero more than Jake Gardner. Does he not look to you like he's standing too much out there? Like, everything starts from zero with Jake Gardner in his own zone.
Yeah, what I've always said with Jake Gardner is he skates the way ice cream tastes. You know, it's beautiful. And I'm always concerned when they say, oh, this prospect's good, but his skating could use a little work. You don't hear too much of, well, this guy's good at soccer, but hey, can't really run. You know, it's important to be able to get around. Things like he makes this decision poorly or you know, this pass isn't working out. He's taking shots from this place that I don't like. He covers guys this way, that way. I think those things can be taught. I think they can be learned a lot easier than skating can. So maybe this is the typical Corsi crusade way of saying it, but I believe in Jake Gardner, and I think he'll be fine.
Moving over to the other part of Ontario that we all know and love, Ottawa. Do you have any take on the three-year contract handed out to Craig Anderson today, given that they handed out a three-year contract to Robin Lehner earlier this summer, Steve Dangle?
Yeah, why did they do that? this is the first time I've talked about it with anyone, and I don't understand it. Ottawa's great, though. I was getting worried because the Oilers were making good decisions this offseason. So were the Leafs. So were the Islanders. And I need those Carnival Act teams. And I don't know, maybe Ottawa's stepping up.
They seem that way, right? Like, I mean, at this, my thing on the Anderson thing, and is clearly they got a good audition from Lehner last year when Anderson was hurt. He played pretty well, really well in some stretches. I think he had a 50-save game at one point. But you could see that the emotional component we've always been worried about with him was still an issue in the fact that he gets a little too emotional. In the fact that maybe there is a bit of a, I don't want to say immaturity to him, but I'll go ahead and say immaturity, which leads you to believe that they want to have Anderson there going forward as a battery mate for this guy. Not only for next season, where Anderson probably gets the preponderance of the starts, but also kind of in the next 3 years to not simply just hand the throne over to Lehner, but to have an active competition and in some ways maybe even a battery. But Merrick, you think there's a chance that one of these guys gets moved now, right?
Yeah, neither goaltender has a no-trade clause, so I think the writing's on the wall for both of them, and I think the moment that Robin Lehner's ready to be a I'm-going-to-play 60 games a year starting goaltender, Craig Anderson is gone.
But where?
I think the term you were looking for before was flip mode. Flip mode status, in the words of Busta Rhymes. That's what Robin Lehner has.
flip mode squad is dangerous. I think we all know that. I mean, it's a pretty established.
Ottawa is not, and there is the rub.
That's the issue. I don't know what the plan is for that team right now, and I worry about Paul McClain. I think he's a really good coach. I think he'll probably land in a seat wherever he goes. But you look at where that team is right now. What's the plan? What's the status? And what is it there that would possibly keep Bobby Ryan from leaving? Because I don't see it.
Here's what I'm thinking. Are you ready for what I'm thinking?
Go for it.
Remember I said Carlisle gone by Christmas? I'm thinking somehow Paul McClain and Bobby Ryan end up on the Leafs. And they win three consecutive Stanley Cups. That's what I think. Sorry, four.
Dangle, you bring up an interesting point, which is that in thinking about what the next Leafs coach would look like, it's going to look like somebody who wore the winged wheel or coached the winged wheel, don't you think? Like, don't you think it's going to be a McClain, McClellan type guy, a Babcock disciple that becomes the next coach of the Maple Leafs?
Yes, because they're because they're everywhere in the NHL. That's why.
Right, exactly. And because like the guy at the head of the organization is a Detroit alumnus. Obviously.
I think it's going to look like a guy who rides to the arena every day on one of those bikes with a huge front wheel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like an old-timey bike, absolutely.
Yeah, an old-timey bike, yeah. Listen, Paul McLean, if he comes to the Leafs and rides to the rink every day on one of those bikes, I'll pay his salary. Bloggers be getting paid, I can do it.
Oh man! Now I've got this thing in my head, Merrick. that says Babcock signs a 10-year, $5 billion contract with Detroit.
Yeah.
But the Sharks miss the playoffs. McClellan gets turfed, and ends up in Toronto. What do you think of that?
I don't think they'll turf McClellan in San Jose.
Like
I can't
never?
See him doing it. I don't know. It really has to be chaos there. Don't forget, Doug Wilson still has some bullets in that chamber. And the bullet he's going to play now is let's try to antagonize either Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau into waiving their no-trade clause.
Don't you think at this point Doug Wilson has to be the one dodging bullets rather than having bullets in his chamber? Like, he could fire back, but his owner's got bigger guns. Like, I think at some point something's going to happen there, and it might be Wilson's head
my earlier point about composition, that all goes to Doug Wilson. Like, Doug can be as mad as he wants. That's the team that he's consistently thrown out there. Can be as mad as he wants, take whatever he wants out on Joe Thornton. That is his team. That's a team he's put together.
That is, I like that you mentioned Detroit and San Jose in the same breath, because this could be one of those weird generational gaps where we explain to people younger than us, like, hey, you know, San Jose was good for a really long time. Oh, get out of here. They finished last place for like 5 years in a row. No, really. They, you know, made it all the way to the final and stuff, and they didn't win it, but they got really close. It's almost like people explain to me how bad the Red Wings were in the 80s, and I don't believe them because I'm only 26.
Okay, here's Steve. I am old, and I will tell you, I can remember specifically when the Ilitches bought the Detroit Red Wings. They were so bad, okay? They had to give away a car every game just to get people in the building.
I don't believe you.
They didn't have enough money to pay Brad Park to coach the team. So you know what they gave him instead? They gave him two Little Caesars pizza operations to own.
Come on.
The Detroit Red Wings. That's where it began with the Ilitch
family. By the way, let's not overstate the giving away a car at every game thing. It's Detroit. It's like oranges in Florida. They could just find cars to give anybody. It could be an Oprah episode where everybody in the place gets a car. Come on. What a big deal.
Okay. He was Mike Ilitch, the original Oprah. Everybody gets a car. Everybody gets
a
car.
All right. Finally, Steve Dangle, because we've got to move on to our question of the day and all that jive. In case you haven't heard, our question of the day is, in fact, give us your dream lineup in 2014 in the National Hockey League. Not what players are going to be, not what players were. Right now, 2014, left wing center, right wing 2D, and a goalie. Who would you pick?
Here's what Dangle's going to say. He's going to say left side, Joffrey Lupul. In the middle, Peter Holland. On the right wing, Phil Kessel. That's easy. A rejuvenated Stefan Robida on the right point and Jake Gardner on the left.
That's ridiculous. I would never put Phil Kessel on my team. Okay, let's go with Sidney Crosby, obviously. Okay. Who's not saying Sidney Crosby? Come on.
Me.
Really?
Spoiler warning.
Yeah. Spoiler. Nope.
Spoiler.
Oh, boy.
Tave's guy here.
Can I put Stamkos on the right wing?
Listen. For you, we'll allow it. No one else listening is allowed to use a center in any place other than at center, but we'll allow you right wing. Go ahead.
If by Steven Stamkos you mean Marian Hossa, yes, go ahead.
This isn't some Team Canada bullshit where you have all 25 centers playing different positions.
All right, screw it. No, okay. I'm going to make Jeff happy and put Hossa on the left wing so my buddy Phil can play right, and I finally get to watch him play with a good center.
That's fair. Yahoo Fantasy Hockey will establish that Marian Hossa is an LW/RW.
Yeah.
So that is allowed. That is allowed.
Perfect. Okay, let's go with This is hard because Corsi people are going to yell at me on Twitter. Shea Weber, because he's got a big beard and he scares people. Zdeno Chara, same reason.
You know, hold on. That explanation for Weber just makes him a poor man's Radko Gudas, by the way. I just want to point that out.
Oh.
Well, that brings me to my goalie, Radko Gudas.
We'll allow it. I mean, if we're going to allow Stamkos, no. Who's your goalie going to be?
Oh, man, you want me to actually answer that. Tuukka Rask, and I will mail this roster back in time to 2004 so he can be happy for the last time.
Oh, wow.
You are the best.
Thanks,
right,
Steve.
Dude.
You're the goods.
Steve Dangle, ladies and gentlemen, is the greatest. And you should all be watching. Where can people find your work for people who are, if there's some idiot out there that has never heard of you, where can people find your work?
See, I love this because it's 2014. Freaking Google Steve Dangle and you'll find all sorts of stuff. It's really great. But, if we're being serious about this and you're giving me an opportunity on a huge platform, I will say a lot of my work is on theleafsnation.com. That's theleafsnation.com. You can download the Steve Dangle podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud, and, of course, youtube.com/Steve Dangle.
By the way, now I have this wonderful dream in my head of like, somebody being on The Tonight Show, and Fallon's like, what do you have coming up? I don't know. IMDb
Google it.
It, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you so lazy? Just get to Google, so dumbass. Lazy.
It's not my job to tell you about my work. Anyways,
I'm so great Steve that Dangle. People should just find it.
That's right. Steve Dangle, it was a pleasure having you on the show. Oh, wait, I'm turning my hat sideways. You were terrible on the show. We're never having it back. Oh, wait, I'm turning my hat back the other way. Thank you for being on the show. You're a wonderful guest.
Hey, what was the...
I'd love to come on again.
By the way, before we punt you, what was the inspiration for that, for doing the mini personalities of Steve Dangle?
I don't really know what you're talking about. I just live with the guy.
Wow. Okay. The charade continues. Thank you, Hulk Hogan, not Terry Bollea.
See ya.
See you, Steve. Steve Dangle.
Steve Dangle. Leafs.
He's the managing editor of the LeafsNation.com.
Refusing
blog.
To pull back the curtain and allow us to see that he is playing multiple characters. He's
old school.
Perfected the whole sort of like cutting a Google video thing. Like a webcam thing before everybody. Like he actually, that was the big innovation. Just to show you how far things have come. The big innovation was he edited. Everybody else was.
And there are a lot of quick cuts.
Oh yeah, exactly. Everybody else just putting on a webcam and speaking. Hey guys, welcome back to my vlog. Dangle actually edited it, and that was the big innovation.
But here's the lesson of Steve Dangle. I mean, this guy did this for a lot of years. And at the beginning, you know, not a whole lot of people were watching. But I remember talking to Steve, you know, at like, hey Steve, what'd you do last night after the game? I had to do my video last night. Oh, really, when'd you finish up? About 5:30 in the morning. And it didn't matter whether it was 8 people or 80 people or 8,000 or 80,000 or whatever that were gonna watch his video. He was going to keep doing it. Like
I really
hang on, because we talked about Dello before. Dello's is a lesson of perseverance, and so is Steve Dangle's. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I missed that part of it, by the way. That part of the hockey blogosphere, where like you discover these amazing little corners of insanity, and then find out that other people know them too. Like, you know, the first time you found out somebody read the Pens blog, for example, before it became this huge thing, and it was like these two insane people writing like their meth heads. Dangle's another one. The Royal Half is a great example of that, and now he works for the LA Kings. It's like all these little pockets of insane, humorous approaches to hockey that people discover, and then you find out as soon as you hear someone that you've met through like hockey Twitter has read them too or has watched them too, you're like, wow, this is somebody that I can get behind. What's Up, You Civ was probably the last one for me.
Oh yeah.
The two bloggers that do our Beard Watch, like their site's hilarious, and like I actually met. It's funny. I'm the one of the entertainment editors at Yahoo was like a roommate of one of the bloggers at What's Up, You Civ, and like we had this immediate connection because the site's hilarious. So I don't know.
Well, the first time you ever saw Charlie Duchesne, for example.
Yeah, right.
Like, I remember the first time. I'm like, holy shit, this is
oh my god,
this is fantastic.
when we were able to do the friggin', you know, the Puck Bunny song on Puck Daddy and like kind of like broke
Huge.
It a little bit, I was like, I was so happy. I was so yeah. super happy that we brought that to people. And that and like the headlines post that we do every day, I used to do it every day. I read it and I wish maybe we could push it more in this direction again. But like it was always a really cool clearinghouse for new blogs, new links, and it was like still to this day one of the most exhilarating parts of doing this job is having people email in and be like, you know, thanks for linking us or thanks for linking us continually, like, you know, thanks for sending readers our way. And I'm like, well, you do good work, so you deserve whatever we can give you. And luckily we have an audience that that trusts us to send you good places.
One of the great finds for me was when I found Ellen Etchingham's blog. And she doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
God damn you, Ellen, living in Taiwan and focusing on a career. The A Theory of Ice blog. And when I first stumbled across that, mm-hmm. blew my mind. Completely blew my mind.
Yeah, if there's anything that we're not talking about or we're not reading, hit us on Twitter or hit us at puckdaddyblog@yahoo.com because I'm always on the lookout. And like I said, I've been a little, not depressed, but maybe disturbed that the rate of really cool, interesting, new, innovative things is sort of dried up a little bit. The pipeline's dried up a little bit in the last couple of years. So, I don't know. There you have it.
Send more stuff. Are we so out of hockey ideas? Is that it? Has hockey run out of ideas now? Is that
all the good names? All the good names have been taken for blogs. That's the problem.
Nah, that's a over. No, that's a that well.
The last great name that was used was Nightmare on Helm Street for the Detroit Red Wings blog.
Oh, that's really good.
Isn't that brilliant?
Oh, that's
I always
awesome.
Love that vlog's name.
Oh, that's good. Don't worry. There'll be other names coming down the pike. Don't worry.
All right. So you spoiled it in our interview with Dangle, but we'll get
totally.
Right to it now. We'll start up front. You are picking Jonathan Toews over Sidney Crosby in your dream lineup 2014?
As close to a perfect forward as we've seen. I'm taking Toews. I'm taking Hossa. I'm taking... Hey, Dallas Stars fan, I'm looking your way, Jamie Benn.
All right, this is interesting. I know that we have one other shared pick in our lineups. At least we did when we discussed mm-hmm. this earlier. So there's that. But you are going again with Jonathan Toews, okay?
Yeah.
And you're going with Hossa, and you're going with Benn.
Yeah.
Can you guess the shared selection in our amongst our three forwards?
Jamie Benn.
That is correct. And part of that is that I was going through the left wings, and listen, I love Taylor Hall. I just like Benn a little bit better right now, I based mm-hmm. on their maturation as players. Daniel Sedin, I don't trust without Henrik. I could pick Kunitz. But I didn't want to pick Kunitz. Zetterberg's a little bit old and a little bit broken. Parise was an option, but I went Benn instead for the size. And then, you know, Ovechkin could obviously be left wing, right wing, but I think he's a right wing. We all agree right now. So I think of the choices, Benn is the pick. So I agree with you on that one. In 2014 NHL Dream lineup, Jamie Benn would be my selection. Over on the other side,
you didn't. Who'd you go with?
I selected a gentleman who you may know from his time with the Canadian Olympic team, but more so probably his time with the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, Corey Perry.
He's pretty good.
Scoring.
Pretty good player.
Sandpaper. Yep. Grit, truculence, mm-hmm. a bit of attitude. Kind of like
yeah,
that.
All those good things.
I like Benn on the left. I like Perry on the right. They will be sandwiching. A guy who, you know, some people like to try to develop arguments as to why you wouldn't choose this guy to be your center. And I know that there are a lot of salient ones, like Jonathan Toews is all around a great player, and Jonathan Toews wins more cups, and what happened to this guy in the playoffs last year? And bliggity blobbity blue blue. Sidney Crosby is the best player alive.
Bliggity blobbity.
He's the best.
I might even be tempted though to take Patrice Bergeron.
there's another guy. Oh, Patrice Bergeron wins face-offs, and he's got this and that and blah, blah, blah. If only he had, if you allowed him to be an offensive player, he'd score 200 points. Well, Sidney Crosby could score 200 points. Sidney's the best player in hockey. He's a complete player. Yes, I know Taves is better defensively. Bergeron's better defensively. Sid is better offensively. But in 2014, it seems like we are a society that seems to say, if you take care of your defensive end, you are somehow a more virtuous player than a player who's amazingly good on offense and really good on defense. And I think there's a real bias against Sid because of that. Yes, Taves is a better defensive player. Bergeron is a better defensive player. Bergeron might be the best faceoff man we're ever going to see. Okay, that's how good he is. And I think that we value those players and say, oh, the offensive side is what it is, because that's not really their responsibility. But Sid does everything really well, and his offensive side is much better than Taves and much better than Bergeron, in my opinion.
We just had a generation gap in that soliloquy, by the way, because the best faceoff guy I ever saw was Doug.
Oh, what do you mean?
Yeah, was Doug
Zezel?
No, Doug Jarvis. Love Zez, though. Doug Jarvis is the best faceoff guy I ever saw.
That's fine. I never saw Jarvis play. Did I?
Hell of a... Oh, God. Yeah, you would have in the 80s, bud.
Oh, come on. I had Sports Channel. I didn't see anything. Other than the
Oh, Bulls. Fair. Okay. No, you
US.
Probably didn't see him play then.
Where am I going to watch
him? I forgot about that. Yeah, good point. And, all right, fair enough. Carry on.
Unless someone's transcribing a game in a newsletter and sending it to my house, I'm certainly not going to watch anybody but a New York team playing. So I go Ben, Sid, Perry. You go Ben, Taves, and Hossa.
Ben Taves,
That's
Hossa.
Fine. Yeah. I don't think there's a right answer there.
Thanks.
Defensively, I believe we both have Drew Doughty, yes?
Both have Drew Doughty. The other question mark for me, and I was Zdeno Chara, but I was really tempted to say Jake Muzzin. I know he has only played in the NHL a little while, but holy shit. You look at how Jake Muzzin has developed into an elite-level defenseman quickly. And I know... Remember how long it took Shea Weber to get into the conversation about one of the best defensemen in the NHL? I think Jake Muzzin's going to be that. Jake Muzzin's going to be that next guy. Where it's going to take a little knocking at the door until finally you conclude that Jake Muzzin should be in that conversation. And please, no more of the flogging about how he's just, you know, he's just surfing on Drew Doughty, because he's not. If you look at his numbers away from Drew Doughty, they are staggering. So if anyone tries to sell you the line that Jake Muzzin is a product of Drew Doughty, scoff at this individual.
Shake your head. I like that pick if we were doing like a keeper team, you know, like picking guys that were going to be there some years down the line. I think Muzzin would be a really good pick. I too went with Doughty. I think he's the best defenseman in the NHL and the most well-rounded defenseman in the NHL. And that well-roundedness, this isn't a donuts joke, by the way. I'm not saying that because he's really been in pretty good shape lately. I think that full well-rounded game of his would allow me then to match him with Erik Karlsson as his defensive partner. Erik Karlsson.
Whoa!
Huge
freestylers. Huge freestylers. Both of them.
Hold on. Doughty's a freestyler, but he also can take care of his own business in his own end.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that he has the adaptability to be like a Scott Stevens, to have been a premier offensive player, but then also be able to play a sort of offense/defensive role with a Karlsson as his defensive partner. Karlsson is too good. Karlsson is a special, amazing, generational offensive talent that we've not seen for quite some time. And I want him on my roster for the simple fact that he's got that ability. And I think that Doughty would be good enough to handle the defensive end of things. I know that it's not your traditional setup. I know that you're asking a lot of Doughty. But I do think in this scenario, you could have a Stevens and Niedermeyer tandem with Doughty playing that more stay-at-home role and allowing Karlsson to be the offensive dynamo. I think Doughty's good enough to do that.
All right. Hey, listen, man. You can make the case totally. I mean, I don't think you're going to go wrong with...
You sound like you have your doubts that Doughty would be able to accomplish.
Well, I just don't know that, you know, pairing him with Erik Karlsson. Yeah, I mean, does every 4-on-3 have to be a 5-on-3 rush? I don't know. Listen, man, they're both awesome. The one area that I was really stuck on, man, was goaltending. because the natural default is Henrik Lundqvist. But you know who I really wanted to say? Because as a peak performer, when I watch this guy and when he's on, there's no one better in the NHL. Kari Lehtinen.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, man. As far as a peak goalie, holy shit, he's freaking fantastic. Now, there's always been the is he going to be in shape this year question. There's always going to be the is he going to be able to survive an entire season question. And this goes back to the early days when he was first drafted. But when he is on his game, honestly, man, there are a few better. But I mean, the default position is Hanks Golden. Go with Henrik Lundqvist.
And I'm going to go there. I went with Lundqvist. I know that's kind of going betting chalk, as they say in horse racing. But I mean, I will always be a little wary of Tuukka Rask outside of that Bruins system. I know that's not fair to him, and I know that makes me probably the biggest hypocrite in the world as a Marty Brodeur fan. Carey Price I like, but I don't love him as much as I do Lundqvist. And Pekka Rene, same deal. Like, I think I need to see a bit more from him. And Jonathan Quick, you know, if it's game seven, I'm picking him. If it ain't, I still feel like he's still sort of an inconsistent regular season goaltender, and now that inconsistency is creeping into the postseason at times as well. So Lundqvist to me is still the cream of the crop. He rises to the top. He doesn't need a pig because a pig is a cop, and I will take Henrik Lundqvist as my goaltender. I don't even know where that came from.
That was good wrap. Hey, just as a quick aside here, and this is why I love this podcast, because you get to meet really cool people like Karen Douglas, who submits this. Speaking of face-offs, I thought Fred Stanfield was a great face-off guy, but I'm going from memory, and even this is before Jeff Merrick's era. Fred Stanfield played in the early 70s. I think he finished up Minnesota in like 78 or 79, but it was always told to me about Fred Stanfield. Before there was Doug Jarvis, there was Fred Stanfield, and he was the guy for faceoffs. So there's your little trip down historical lane on the podcast today.
And
starting six.
And correct me if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe Lisa Stanfield sang Been Around the World and I, I'm Still Looking for My Baby. I think she sang that. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
So Ben Sid Perry, Doughty, Carlson, Lundqvist for me, Ben Taves, Hossa, Doughty. Who'd you pick for your second D? Oh, Chara. Lehtinen or Lundqvist for you at the end of the day?
I love Kari Lehtinen, but go Hank.
All right, Hank for you.
Go superstars.
Yeah. Ramsville writes in, left wing Ben, center Crosby, right wing Kessel, Weber, Doughty, Lundqvist is his selection for this this brouhaha, this dream roster type thingy-dooey that we're doing. Corey Dumond writes in, Sharp, Crosby, Perry, Carlson, Subban, Rask. And talking about Sharp to tickle the twine, as he usually does, and behind Kessel and Covey is the best damn sniper in the game. Patrick Sharp getting put over. What do you think of that?
Is he going to stay? Is he going to stick around in Chicago?
I think he sticks around in Chicago this year.
I don't think
that it could really go. Well, I mean, oh, no, because they can afford to keep him this year. I mean, the salary cap situation for the Blackhawks is such that they can fit him this year, but after that, he's gone. Like, they can't. It's unsustainable then.
Yeah, I mean, when the whispers started last year that the Chicago Blackhawks were asking who would be interested, I know there's a lot of, I mean, obviously there's a lot of interest around the NHL. I don't know. I just can't see him long for the Chicago Blackhawks. I don't know if it's maybe one more season with Chicago, but I don't think he's there long haul. Just from the people that I talk to, including one person very close to that organization.
Oh. So you think he's going to be gone in season?
Yeah, I was told it almost happened last year by someone that I talked to at the draft in Philadelphia.
Interesting. I think if they really want to take a run at it, they keep him on the roster this year. They can afford.
I love him. Listen, man. And the cap space is there.
Everything works out.
Yeah. Versatile. Can also play center. Got a hell of a shot. Like, there's a lot of reasons to keep that guy from a player point of view.
Keep him. Keep him this year. Make a decision. And, you know.
Maybe.
Later on.
Yep.
Leanne Romaniak.
Hockeyland Canada. Jeff picking the hipster hockey team, Muzzin, Lehtinen, good players, but dream team? Am I trying to be a little too cool? Trying to be a little too cool for the room?
she's a first time, long time, and she has my forward group, so she's brilliant. Doughty and Mark Edward Vlasic. This pair can do it all, score goals, and protect the net. Gotta love Doughty freewheeling and Vlasic holding on the fort. If you're going with your defensive stalwart along with Doughty, then obviously it works out. And Carey Price. And, oh, by the way, at the end of the email she writes, wait a minute, did I just remake Team Canada? Oh, well, I guess you can't argue with the results. Makes sense. Paul Vogel writes in, left wing Jamie Benn, center Tyler Seguin, right wing Marian Hossa, Doughty and Chara on defense, Tuukka Rask. Unfortunately, the bottom six would fail my team and get me fired in three seasons. Oh, but you're starting a lot of
Tyler Seguin win the Art Ross this year?
Potentially.
Can you see a world where Tyler Seguin wins the Art Ross trophy?
Yes. Depends what the power play looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Think they're going to load up? Think they'll put Spezza on the same unit as Seguin and Ben?
No. I think they'll do separate.
All right. I like the idea of loading up.
You've always
make it hot, though. Jack Norling writes in, Zetterberg, Kopitar, Kessel, all of the puck are belong to us. Chara, Carlson, because the big and tiny duo would be fun to see. Lundqvist, always. Again, I cannot.
Chara and Josh George.
I love Datsuk.
Chara and Josh George. You see them stand next to each other. Chara and Francis Bouillon.
Listen, I love Zetterberg. And I would put him on my team in a heartbeat. I just don't try. Again, it's an in the now 2014 lineup, and I can't in good faith put him in the lineup because of his back. I just can't do it.
I'm with you. Back nine. I know.
Tony, Crosby, Taylor Hall, Corey Perry, Doughty, Weber, Rask. Doughty and Weber, best D-men. Hall, speed. Perry, shot size. 87, the playmaker. I do have Perry and Ben on my wings are like a effing battering ram out there with Sid. But I think they can keep up.
It's the big year for Taylor Hall, too. This is the big pop year that everyone says for Taylor Hall. It's a big year for him.
S. Nixon writes in, Evander Kane, Josh Hosang, Kyle Okpozo, Bufflin and Gill on defense, and Parisian net, just to see who the Winnipeg media would try to get rid of first.
Well, then, no, hang on. You're missing. Who do you have in net?
He says Bryzgalov, but I think that's because of the Park stuff, remember?
Oh, right. I was going to say, you want to then throw Andre Palat into that, too, if you want to see the Winnipeg media try to chase someone out.
Volucci writes in, Getzlaff,
hey,
Ben, Ginla, Weber, Matt Karkner, Tuukka Rask.
Wait a minute. Shea Weber?
But. BA writes in, Tavares, Lucic, Kane, guessing that's Patrick, Weber, Duncan Keith, Rask, who wants to face that lineup ever? I guess
who's
an interesting one.
Lucic, Tavares, and
Patty Kane. Yeah.
Tell you what, man, when Lucic gets ahead of steam behind him, it's frightening. And if you still believe that intimidation is a thing in hockey, which players certainly do.
I gave some mind to it. I think I'd rather have a pain in the ass like Corey Perry up front than Lucic. I'm assuming down the lineup somewhere there's going to be a Lucician player that will be able to play that role.
I'd take Brad Marchand. Or Marchand. How does he want to pronounce it this year? Do we have a pronouncer on what Brad Marchand wants to be called?
Changes every 2 seconds. Right. Yep. Nick Davis writes in, Johnny Manziel, and also Johnny Manziel, which is ESPN's all NHL team. Well done there. And then finally, there was one that I wanted to read about the show, and I'm looking for it now, and I'm going to find it. And it is the one.
Here comes Greg Wyshynski going through his timeline or maybe even his emails as well. Depends if this is 140 characters or less. If it's more, he's probably going to his email.
Hockey fan Dan writes in, the dream MVSW lineup, Harrison Mooney, Johnny Bauer, PK Subban, Carl Alsner, and Gary Bettman. So a mix of real people and impressions that I do. It's pretty
Johnny Bauer? Was Phil Esposito in there?
I think Johnny Bauer just because you always mention him.
I love Johnny Bauer. I love him. That's why. Okay, that's good. I thought maybe Phil would be in there if he wanted to be the all Greg Wyshynski impression team. You'd have Brian Burke, Phil Esposito, Gary Bettman, Bobby Holik.
Listen,
who else would you have? Who do you always do? Jarmo Kekäläinen. For sure. GM of the Blue Jackets.
Oh, I love my Jarmo impression.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I want to mention, remind me to mention some about the CBJs before and I wanted to talk about it last week real quick, but go ahead, finish up.
CBJs in a second. Two more answers to the QOD. First off, not an answer, but a question to you. You bristled at Carlson and Doughty. Would you bristle at PK Subban and Doughty?
Yeah, I want someone steadier playing with PK Subban.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't rove the same way Drew Doughty does.
So you'd prefer Vlasic over both those guys, maybe?
Yeah, I would take them, yep.
And finally, Kevin Nigro writes in, the all, I can be fat because I'm that good at hockey team.
Go Persley and Net. No, Turk Broda.
Well, I believe these are technically active players. Dustin
Penner. Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel. Kyle Wellwood in the middle, and he puts a note yes, Kyle Wellwood is retired, but come on, he's way too fat and good at hockey to leave off. Excellent point. Plus, I don't know who your fat center would be. Your D, of course, is Dustin Byfuglien and Drew Doughty. And in goal, a controversial pick, Tim Thomas over Marty Brodeur.
Over Marty?
I know.
Tim is pretty plump.
I don't know
though.
How you do that. Tim has the comportment of a professional golfer. Marty's fat. I mean, that's what's great about him. It makes him so approachable.
You know, you mentioned something. Can you think of a fat? I mean, once upon a time, I mean, there are plenty of rotund centermen in the NHL. But now I can't. Is that the one position that we haven't seen a chubby dude? I mean, outside of Kyle Wellwood,
a fat center.
Yeah.
Show me a fat centerman and I'll show you
a
chubby pivot.
Fat centerman.
I don't know. Who would be your fat center? That's a
good
question.
I don't know. Who is a fat centerman in the NHL?
All the fats on the wing and on defense now, it seems like.
That's right.
Goal.
Yeah.
Well, that's really the problem, Merrick, is that, you know, a lot of fat kids start off as centers, but then gradually they gravitate to the wings based on what their coaches want.
I mean, all the guys make fun of Joe Thornton's build, but I would never call Joe Thornton fat.
He's not fat. Yeah. Who's our fat center?
I don't know. Give me a fat center.
Matt
Anybody.
Eric Wellwood.
No, he's in good shape. Eric Wellwood's in really good shape.
There are more fat centers in the NBA than there are in the NHL right now. I don't know
who wrote that in? It's a good point.
What was the CBJ thing you wanted to say?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention this last year, but didn't get a chance. They do something really, like, really cool. This completely grassroots, fan-driven events. It's coming up, I want to say, August 31st. You can go to jacketscannon.com for more information. It's an idea that, you know, talk about, you know, bloggers and growing things just on the internet with one person having an idea and growing it. It's a fan and blogger idea going back to 2010, which started as like this tiny little cookout. And they now host it at Buffalo Wild Wing in Columbus. This year it is at Strongwater Food and Spirits. That's a giant event center in downtown Columbus. Last year, 500 plus fans showed up, CBJ fans. Jarmo Kekäläinen went to say a few things and hobnob with the crowd. This year, I mean, this just started as a little cookout, okay? This year, they're expecting upwards of 1,000 people. And this is pretty much almost without involvement from the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is something that started online, that started on a blog, a tiny little cookout. Hey, let's get together and, you know, have something to eat and have something to drink and talk about the CBJs, and is now going into an event where the organization themselves have taken note and send the general manager to go and talk to hockey fans. You hit the Canon blog, jacketscanon.com, for more information. It is a awesome idea, and you want to talk about things grown, you know, from the root to the fruit, just on the internet with a couple of brains. Check this one out, man. Canon Fest 5. It's in Columbus. What is the date here? August 31st. It is August 31st. There you go. Downtown, awesome. Columbus. Canon Fest 5.
Uh,
Karen Douglas wanted to know any potential Toronto meetup news. I'm hoping to finalize that stuff in this next week. It's been
haphazard
and a little nutty. I know. I'm working on venues and stuff. It's tough because, as you may know, I technically sort of work for both Yahoo.com in the U.S. and then also Yahoo Canada, you know, with all the hockey stuff. So it's like trying to coordinate marketing teams and PR teams and all that jive is a hell of a challenge. So I'm trying to my best to navigate those waters. Fat centers, Ella West. I kept Jamie Bennett center for my All Fatties team. Not a bad choice. But Jared Dillon has the answer, ladies and gentlemen.
For fat center?
Yep.
Okay.
Steve Ott.
I don't know that I'd call Steve Ott fat.
Listen,
really?
In this time of a fat center drought, my friend.
Okay,
how dare you push away a glass of water like Steve Ott?
In this fat center drought, there is a drought of fat centermen in the NHL. Shame on you, NHL, for not producing more fat centermen. All your centermen have to be in shape.
We've looked far and wide. We turned over many a donut to find a fat center, and you, Jared finds one in Steve Ott, and you're like, not fat enough. How dare you, sir?
I know. I apologize for that. Sorry.
The answer, by the way, is always
the standard of the day.
Is our last, and I was just thinking about this, is our last great fat center Keith Tkachuk?
Oh, for sure.
Maybe. For sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he came by it legit. He came by it legit.
Oh, man, I hope we have one of those this year. Don't you love when we have those camp stories of blah, blah, blah was sent home because he's too fat?
It doesn't happen very often. I'm always more interested in seeing the guys there. Well, that was coming out of the lockout, right? It was funny because, I mean, St. Louis went out of – it was pretty bad. St. Louis went out of their way to embarrass that guy, Keith Tkachuk, right?
Really did.
I mean, at the same time, Sergei Samsonov with Boston showed up at Boston camp out of shape because he had a condition where if he worked out at that point, he would get terrible migraines. But did the Boston Bruins go out of their way to embarrass publicly Sergei Samsonov? No. But the St. Louis Blues did with Keith Tkachuk. Which comes back to another point that I've had for a long time. Do you need to be in rock body shape to play hockey? Now, we've had that podcast though before. We've done that one. Did we just lose Wish? Or did we just lose me? Am I even on the line anymore? Oh, we lost Wish? So that was it. So hang on a second. Do I get to actually wrap up the show? Is that it?
No,
going on about
now.
Fat Center? Oh, damn it. I was hoping to wrap up the show. Do a little, thanking everybody.
Listen, my parent. I give credit to my parents' internet. I'm, by the way, looking at a modem that looks like it may have been crafted out of an Atari 2600. I'm not going to say it's old. I'm really saying that it's old.
Oh.
I'm really saying that I had to insert an AOL disk into this modem before it would work. All right. No. Listen, congrats to my parents' internet, man. It kept us in the show for the entire time, except for the beginning and the end.
Pretty much.
Thanks to Steve Dangle for joining us. He is a prince of the internet. Seriously is like a really good guy and somebody we're super happy.
Steals beer, though. Beer thief. Watch him. If you shake hands with Steve Dangle, count your fingers after. He steals things. Be careful bringing him to your house because, as we saw with Greg's pumpkin ale, he will steal it. Hot fingers, Dangle.
Yeah. Mike writes in that next to Ryan Miller, Steve Ott's a little on the plump side. Ryan Miller, of course, being
that picture. You're standing next to
the size of a chopstick. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about that one, Mike.
And I don't know either. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And that's it. We'll be back Friday. So the next couple of days, I'm off at a mountain type thing with the little kid. And so we'll be back Friday for more talk.
It was remarkable, considering we had about a popcorn farts bunch of information to talk about coming out of the weekend, that we actually were able to do a podcast today. And actually didn't even mention anything about Devin Setoguchi and the Calgary Flames. They actually a little bit of news was completely ignored today. That was
really, I thought, to our credit. to our credit, not having to discuss Devin Zetaguchi, the Calgary Flames.
The Calgary Flames.
Although I'd have to go. I'd have to go back and figure out exactly how much we spoke about Danny Heatley, and then probably give Zetaguchi as much lip service, considering where they both are in their at this stage in their careers.
Fair. He is Zetaguchi, by the way, is the NHL's best badminton player. Did you play like elite level badminton growing up? I think he still plays badminton in the offseason.
Did he really?
Yeah. I think it's some video you can go see Devin Zetaguchi. Go to, hey. You can go see video of him.
That's a piece of equipment.
I understand that, and you couldn't resist the temptation, you 12-year-old, to say shuttlecock. It does sound funny, though.
Which you just did.
But I was more high-minded about it.
Check out three things on Puck Daddy. First, we were one of the probably the first to bring you that crazy ass goal celebration where the guy slid on his
awesome.
Head and then finally did a somersault. That was really cool. Yeah. That was on Puck Daddy over the weekend. Check out the Latvian line brawl that we have on the site today. It's old. It's 2007. Sometimes this stuff falls through the cracks. Like that's a year before we started Puck Daddy. Blogging off of YouTube clips wasn't all that gigando huge. It has a lot of views over the last 7 years, but you may have missed it, and it's crazy good. Line brawl from Latvia in the final game of their championship series, no less. And then also the ongoing Summer of Disappointment series. Check them out every day. At the bottom of the post, we have all the old ones linked up. I believe today will be the Detroit Red Wings trying to find the worst, the most disappointing player. Team, executive, all that jive in team history. And then the Anaheim Ducks, I believe, are tomorrow. Still to come in that series, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Pittsburgh Penguins also in that series. So do check those out. It's a good time. And also the Leafs, which, by the way, Pension Plan Puppets is writing. So patting down the hatches.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. All right, everybody. We will see you on Friday.
Ooh, yeah, Friday.
There's a show on Friday that can only mean one thing.
Why don't you do the show on Thursday? We don't need to put people through that. Oh, we lost Greg again. This is awesome. Okay, so coming up on Friday's show, Greg and I have both agreed there will be no game show Friday. We'll actually talk about hockey things and hockey comings and goings and hockey news and things that might be of relevance and interest to you. So in that spirit, and Greg, if you're with me, remain silent. No game show Friday coming up at the end of this week. His silence has spoken. No game show Friday this week. Apologies for those that are disappointed. But nonetheless, Greg has spoken, and he is the custodian of Game Show Friday. So, again, thanks to Steve Dangle for joining us. Thanks to Matt Brown. By the way, that's him right now playing the keyboard. Listen. Yep, that's Matt Brown right there. Thanks to Maddie. Thanks to Steve Dangle. On behalf of Greg Wyshynski, who has now killed Game Show Friday, I am Jeff Merrick. Thanks for joining us. We return right here at Sportsnet, at Puck Daddy, or whether you're listening on iTunes. For your favorite podcast, 2 o'clock Eastern, the MVSW. Thank you. Goodbye. Time to go away.